I'd like to wish you all a happy Easter. And the epistle for this Paschal Vigil Mass, for the Midnight Mass of Easter, taken from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 3. Brethren, if you have risen with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Mind the things that are above, not the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, your life, shall appear, then you too will appear with him in glory. And then the Gospel, if you stand for the Gospel. Take him that according to St. Matthew, chapter 28. Now late in the night of the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and drawing near, rolled back the stone and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment like snow. And for fear of him, the guards were terrified and became like dead men. But the angel spoke and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. For he has risen, even as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord was laid, and go quickly, tell his disciples that he has risen, and behold, he goes before you into Galilee. There you shall see him. Behold, I have foretold it to you." And thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. So many beautiful things to consider in this, the greatest of all the nights of the year. Come and see the place. Today we want to consider the searching. So many beautiful things to consider on the night that our Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And one, we can see that Mary Magdalene and the holy women, they are looking for the wrong things. They are worrying about the wrong things. Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. He has conquered death. And Mary Magdalene and the holy women are walking to the tomb. And why are they walking there? They are carrying with them myrrhs and aloes, bitterness, despair, great anguish and sorrow of spirit. You must remember that Mary Magdalene and those holy women know that Jesus Christ is dead forever. That he will never move again. And they are going to pay their respects to his body. They're going to look for the dead body of Jesus Christ so that they might complete the burial. This is the first wrong thing they're looking for. And we often do that ourselves. We go to look for the dead Jesus Christ to complete the burial. This is what happens when sorrow comes into our lives. When we experience any sorrow, we want to wallow in it. We want it to be done with. We look for the dead Jesus Christ. Mary Magdalene and the holy woman go to find the dead body of Christ. They find there an angel instead. And the angel says, "Look at this beautiful place." There will be a discussion with two disciples on the way to Emmaus a little bit later that same day. They will see a stranger. And the stranger will come up to them and say to Cleophas, "Why are you so upset? You look so sad. You look so distraught and worried as if you have not slept for many days, and you look exhausted and drained of spirit. What has happened?" And the two disciples say, "What do you mean, what has happened? Where have you been? Do you not know that Jesus of Nazareth, the greatest of all the prophets that ever walked the earth, do you not know that he was only 8 days ago walking with glory into the city of Jerusalem?" And then all seemed well, for we were afraid at that time. And then a few days later, he praised him. And a few days later, one of his own disciples, one of his own apostles, betrayed him. He was handed over to the Jews. He was scourged. He was crucified, died, and was buried. And this is the third day already since these horrible things have happened. Where have you been? They know what happened. Jesus Christ is dead. All hope is lost. They do not want to be in the city in which he was slain anymore. And so they're leaving that city. Emmaus is unimportant. Mary Magdalene, instead of leaving the city, goes to pay her respects to the dead body of Jesus Christ. They're searching for the wrong thing. The angel tells Mary Magdalene, look at this beautiful sepulcher. Look at this holy place where they laid him. Why is this church a holy place? Why is this building holy? Because he is going to be laid in a few moments inside that tabernacle. We call this a holy place because it is where Jesus Christ is going to dwell. Not where he shall remain dead. He dies for one purpose, and that is to conquer and destroy death. And yet we fools, after this death of Jesus Christ, we are afraid of death. We do not realize that it is the place of total victory. When we go to death, death of our own wills, death of our own hearts, when we go to death with Jesus Christ, only one thing can happen. They will come to look for our dead bodies. They will come to rejoice over the dead whom they have slain, to find only a wound, says Bishop Sheen, a wound that will never heal. There shall be a wound placed into the earth, and it shall be a scar that is an open tomb, and it shall never close again. They came to find the dead body, to find only the risen Christ. What are the soldiers to do? You know, these are the Roman soldiers. Flavius Josephus tells us that there are a manifold of soldiers. That's 100 Roman soldiers guarding that tomb. Now, they were well-trained soldiers. They were trained to kill people. But there was no place in their manual what you're supposed to do when they're already dead. So when that stone rolled back and he came out, they were terrified. And they knew at that moment their swords were no good. And they became, says the gospel today, as dead men. They ran away in fear. He has conquered death. O mors ero mors tua, it says in the sacred liturgy of Holy Saturday. O death, I will be your death. Jesus Christ speaking to death. Death, thou shalt die. It is the day of the conquering of death. He conquers death by the means of death. What is the cause of death? Sin. And how will Jesus Christ conquer it? By taking all the sins of the world unto himself. As if he was guilty, he was made sin for us. And then he took on all the pains that those sins deserve, the infinite pains. And he died, shedding every drop of his blood, separating all his blood, so that out at the end came blood and water from his heart. And in this way, he conquers death with a battlefield of death. And death is transformed into life. And those of us that wish to follow Jesus Christ must be willing to die. And if we are willing to die, then we have nothing to fear. Then God can put a deep joy inside of our hearts.
And when any kind of death comes our way, we will be able to rejoice. Remember, our Lord promised His apostles on this morning, Holy Thursday night, He said, a little while, I will not be, I'm with you a little while, and again a little while I will not be with you because I go to the Father. You shall be sorrowful, but the world shall rejoice. And again a little while I shall return, and I shall be with you again. And you shall be joyful, and your joy no man shall take from you. Our joy as Catholics can sometimes be taken away too easily. The slightest pain. You have a headache, you have a moral obligation to curse. You run into a traffic jam, moral obligation to curse. The slightest inconvenience, we have an obligation to curse. This means we have not learned about the glory of the death of Jesus Christ. If we participate in some way with His death, then when we run into a traffic jam, you're going to see the beauty of that white line. Look how they painted that little line there. You know how straight it is? I never recognized that post before. It's pretty neat. Look at that tree. There will be beautiful things to see everywhere. And everything shall be a cause of joy. And this joy no man can take from us. Even if for brief moments, because of our human weakness, we weep. No one can take our joy from us. Because we have gone to death. What can we fear? We have connected ourselves to the cross. Remember, there's nothing more beautiful than the cross. And its glory is completed by that resurrection. And so let us no longer go looking for the wrong things. We don't look for the dead body of Christ. We see the beauty of the sepulcher where He was laid. We see the beauty of the earth that He walked. The beauty of the earth that He created. The beauty of the souls. If only we could love souls. The beauty of the souls that He made to give Him glory. Even the soul of a sinner. God loved the sinner so much that He could not hold back His heart. And the first two He will appear to after His mother will be the greatest of the sinners of woman, Mary Magdalene, and the greatest of the sinners of the apostles, Peter. He can't stay away from the sinner. We learn in the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 15, the Gospel in which we hear the parable of the prodigal son. It says, and the publicans and the sinners gathered round Him to hear Him. And the heart of Christ was moved in such a way that He was bumbling over His own words, trying to communicate His own love for the sinner that returns to God. We need to learn that love. Sinners are in death. And Jesus Christ goes to death to take the sinners away from death. And if any of you that are at this moment enemies of God because of living in mortal sin, see in this night infinite love. The infinite love of God that comes down to transform the death of our evil lives into the love of Him. He makes it possible even for me, who have hated God so much in my life. He makes it possible even for me, in my sins, to be sorry, and even though I'm a sinner, to love Him, to want to be with Him who has conquered death. An excitement comes into our lives. We are excited. Look at this beautiful place where they laid Him. Look at that beautiful rock upon which He was crucified. Look at that beautiful earth that He walked upon. Look at that beautiful sun that shone upon Him. Look at those beautiful stars that were over Him. What a privilege to see and touch the things that He saw and touched. That is a beautiful life. And so we look for the wrong things. We look for the dead body. when we should rejoice at the beautiful tomb. And Christ will find us. Mary Magdalene wanders to the garden. Peter wanders to the garden. The disciples try to leave. They try to leave, and Jesus Christ intercepts them. Jesus Christ intercepts Mary Magdalene, and she's wandering about not knowing where she's going. He intercepts Peter, and the other apostles are cowards, and they won't leave the upper room. So he comes to the upper room. We don't need to search for him so much. He'll find us. We can't escape him. He is the good shepherd that goes after his sheep, and we are lost, and we run away. And we can run as fast as we can. Like a man, a member of the Apache squadron, was telling me, he says the motto of the Apache helicopter is, "Don't run, you'll die tired." There's no point in running away from Christ. He'll find us. He's faster than we are. Rather, what we should do is when we look at the tomb, when we look at the place that he has made for us, whether it be a traffic jam, or a wife that's screaming at us, or kids that are straight from hell. It doesn't matter what it is. We must see in these things the place of Christ. He knows what it means to hear screaming children. He knows what it means to be stuck and delayed. Remember, it took him 4 days to get to the body of Lazarus. He knows everything that we can experience. We should rather rejoice to see the things that he has seen. We're looking for a dead body. This is what happens, I think, to many souls as they begin the spiritual life. And they think that spirituality is flagellating oneself. It is not. It is rejoicing at the beautiful sight of a sepulcher and not looking for the dead body of Christ. Because he is risen, he's not here. That's what the angel said. He's risen, he's not here. But look at the beautiful place where he was once laid. Go and tell Peter and the apostles he'll meet them in Galilee. They can run, they can go to Galilee. They can do like Jonas did and get into a boat and try to go for a long trip away from God. Next thing you know, you're coughed up on the same shore. No one can escape him. So why should we try? And if there are any sinners here this night, and we are all sinners, let us no longer try to escape Jesus Christ. Let's no longer look for his dead body. Let's go after him who is alive. Let's rejoice at the beautiful place that he gave us. This beautiful church. The beautiful family in which you found yourselves. That rosary. We have so many treasures in which Christ can be found. St. John of the Cross tells us, he says, "How can you walk out into the hills and not see Christ? How can you look to the stars and not see Christ? How can you look at a rock and not see Christ?" Those who do not see him in these things are blind. We must no longer be blind. Don't look for the wrong things. And then secondly, and we'll have to close, I'm going on too long here. Remember the beautiful and foolish fears of those holy women. They were walking to the tomb, and they said to one another, "Who shall roll back for us the stone?" There's this big rock in front of that hole. Who shall roll back the stone? Remember the foolishness of this worry. It's like our worries. Who's going to take care of my kids? Where am I going to get the money from to make the next payment? And foolish worries of a stone. He has conquered the world. He created every single mountain. He determined their exact height and the depth of the valleys, as he told Job, and the extent of the seashore and so on. He knows how to pick up a little bitty stinking rock. And we're worried about a little rock. We shouldn't be worried about these things. Let's get rid of our foolish worries about little rocks. Let's no longer look for the dead body of Jesus Christ. Let us rejoice at the place where He once was, where He will be in a few moments, right here in this tabernacle on that altar, where He is everywhere because He created and sustains this whole universe. Let us rejoice to see the place where He walked and where He is. And let's no longer be afraid of sorrows. We all experience them. Why are we afraid of them? They are the stepping stones of such great joy. If we only look at them in the right way, He'll bless us. And then in a few moments, in a little while, it'll be a great privilege for me, a priest, to be able to place Jesus Christ on the tongues of these five adults who are going to receive Him for the first time in the flesh. If only you can understand the joy that comes into my heart when I'm able to place Jesus Christ's body and blood and soul and divinity into one of you for the first time. There are a few times in which we priests touch the great beauty of our priesthood, which is to bring Jesus Christ to souls and to bring souls to Jesus Christ. There is our joy. And there's no other joy in this priesthood. And it is a joy that unfortunately you cannot fully experience. So I do not envy you. What a privilege. In a few moments I will bring Jesus Christ from heaven to earth. Body, blood, soul, divinity, whether you believe it or not, that's what's going to happen. The Creator of the universe is coming down. And then He will be carried by the hands of a fat Italian fool. He will allow Himself to be carried to the communion rail. There He will enter into your hearts. Why does God do such a thing? Why would He come down to earth and ask the 15-year-old girl, "Will you accept to be my mother?" And she says, "No, we're all damned." If she says, "Yes, we have hope." Why would He tell these apostles, these fishermen, who never got anything right, "Go and teach all nations whatsoever I have taught you"? Why would He do that? There's something foolish about the love of God. And St. Paul tells us, "You say you're fools. I am more a fool. I am a fool for Christ." And if we want to be happy, we're going to have to learn more and more how to be fools. How to be as little children. How to adore the beautiful mysteries of our faith. Imagine what our lives would be like if we didn't have this faith. Be miserable and bland. But with this faith, everything's exciting. And this is a beautiful night. A night in which God's going to come resurrected again. A night in which we won't make that mistake of looking for the dead body of Jesus Christ. Or the living body, the resurrected body of Jesus Christ, who's already conquered death forever. This body, this blood, and this soul, this divinity, Jesus Christ is going to be placed on the tongues of these five new ones. What an awesome thing. The Creator of the universe, larger than all the universe, will make Himself so small as to fit upon our tongues and into our hearts. Somehow, that divinity is going to slowly make our little hearts become larger. Our weak hearts become strong. Our foolishness becomes somehow wise. How is it going to happen? I do not know. But I do adore and I give thanks to a God who is so good as to die on the cross for my sins who rise from the dead and find me. Even though I've run away from him, he goes and finds me to show himself to me. Whether I'm running away from Jerusalem, whether I'm looking for a dead body, or whether I'm a coward in my own room, he finds me. Then let us find him also and love him all our days. It has been a great privilege and honor for me to be here with you. A privilege and honor to bring Jesus Christ upon the altar and to carry him to you. May he live in all of us always and forever. And God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.